The tornadoes of December 26, many survived with their lives. Though the storm destroyed their homes and personal effects, many of them are alive and continue to live. When you think in terms of surviving, sometimes it's related to crisis with health, with family, finances. People who are surviving speak like this. They want to hold on, pull through, hold out. But to thrive means to flourish. It means to grow. It means to be prosperous. People who survived the storm must get to a point where they are not just surviving, but they are thriving once again. The question is for each of us. As the church, it's for us, for all of us, located here at 1013 South Greenville Avenue. We must ask ourselves individually and ask ourselves as a congregation, will we thrive in 2016, or will we just be a church or a person who's surviving? The leadership of this congregation has put together a plan for 2016. We're going to have a church meeting on Wednesday, and all are asked to be here. If you would learn the plan and be informed about what we're planning to do for this congregation to move from a survival mode and to be in a thriving situation. So I want to use as a subject a thriving, flourishing, prosperous people in 2016. Now, I want to use Joshua chapter 1:1-9. God has brought his people to the banks of the Jordan River. Canaan, the promised land, is just on the other side of this river. God gives Joshua instructions in preparation for possession of the land. As we have read and as we study the first chapter, there are three things necessary for Israel to thrive and not just survive in this new world. There must be divine leadership. There must be a divine plan and the divine word of God. All of this is seen in chapter 1. What's interesting is that this is the instructions in Joshua chapter 1 is to the second generation of the Israelites coming out of the land of Egypt. You remember when God brought them out of Egyptian bondage, and the Israelites were camped at the Red Sea. There were mountains on both sides, Red Sea in front of them, and Pharaoh's army was approaching. I want you to see the mindset of the people. Go to Exodus 14. And I want to read in your hearing verses 10. I want you to, when they saw their situation, their dilemma, they responded. And I want you to see how they responded. In Exodus 14, beginning at verse number 10, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, Have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see them again no more. The problem with that first generation is that they were in a survival mentality. They were not in the mindset of accepting God and following God by thriving and following God's man Moses. This attitude of survival stayed with them until they got to this same point in Numbers 13. Go over that with me. Numbers 13 and verse number 27. Now in Numbers 13, they are at this River Jordan, and Moses sends over 12 spies. You remember that? And of these 12 spies, Joshua and Caleb. And when these men return, I want you to see the response of the people and the 12 spies. In Numbers 13 and verse number 27, listen to what the Bible says. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. Now they're speaking to Moses. These are the spies. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountain. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb, watch that now. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once, take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him, all right, said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies, it is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers. Watch that mentality. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight. See, that survival mode attitude causes us to look negatively at ourselves. And so we were in their sight. Now, that's not true, because they put their attitude as grasshoppers in their sight and said that's the way they felt about us. I know different, because God had already helped those people to know that God, their God, had brought them out of Egypt. Their God had brought them through the Red Sea. They already knew that their God, the Israelites' God, had drowned Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. Those people knew that God gave them bread from heaven and water from a rock. And so these people were already afraid of the Israelites. But because the Israelites never got past that survival mentality, they started out with it, and when they got to the edge of the promised land, they still had that same attitude. Now, God turned them back, and they stayed in the wilderness 40 years. Now, where we are in our text, this is a new generation, a second generation, who has come to this same place. Now, God says that Moses is dead. That generation, too, is dead. And God now wants these people to possess this land. And so, in order to do so, they had to have the mentality of thriving and not surviving. In order to thrive, they had to have divine leadership. They had to have the divine plan. And they also had to have the divine word of God. Listen to what God says to Joshua, his leader. Verse number one. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, divine leadership is found in Moses, who is now dead, but it's in Joshua who is to lead them. God uses a word that I think you and I ought to pay attention to, because in order to thrive as a congregation, we must have divine leadership. Notice, the Bible says, my servant Moses. And that word servant means a slave of God. Moses is one who had made God the priority of his life. Moses, as leader of God's people, saw himself as a slave to God. He had relegated his family second to God. All other concerns as being secondary to his responsibility as a servant of God. You and I need to see that this idea of divine leadership means that I need men who will be servants, who will be willing to completely dedicate themselves to the will of God and the affairs of God. In order for a church to thrive, God must have leadership based on divine qualification. Just anybody can't step in and say, I want to be a leader. These leaders are chosen by God, and God is the one who enables them to be able to lead his people. And he needs men who will not be led by their wives, men who will not be led by the mores of our society, but they are men who are committed to God, doing what God would have them to do. If we as a church are going to thrive in 2016, it's got to come from divine leadership, where men are totally committed to God Almighty, willing to make their families secondary, willing to make all other concerns secondary to what God would have them to be. And they have to be men of faith when everybody else is saying that they are giants in the land and saying that we be not able. People who are true leaders of God have to be men of faith. Watch this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that are not seen. Without faith, you and I cannot please God. We got to be people who walk by faith and not by sight. Don't worry about the giants. Don't worry about the fact that we don't have the military capabilities that they have. You've got to understand that walking by faith is based on what God has said. And if we as a church do not have this kind of leadership, men who stand against society but stand with God, then we will not thrive, because God depends on leaders to lead his people. Now, when you think in terms of point number two, not only divine leadership in order to thrive, but they got to go by the divine plan of God. Look at verse number 3 of Joshua chapter 1. The Bible says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor will I forsake thee. Watch him now. God says, check my history. Now, Joshua, I want you to see this land, and I'm giving it to you as far as your eyes can see. That's your horizon. I'm giving it to you. Every place your foot steps, claim it as your own. Now, if you are in a survival mentality, you're not going to walk far and you're not going to look far. But if you know your God and you buy into the plan of God, and you know that God has given you the command, God has given you the vision, God has given you the way in which you should go. Though giants be there, though valleys be there, though mountains be there, you must buy in to where God wants you to go and take what God wants you to take. We cannot be a people who allow ourselves to be dictated by what's going on in the world today. We are a people who are not trying to survive this generation. We are a people who are thriving. Why? Because God is our partner. God is on our side. And God's plan is the plan that we're working, and not our own plan. Amen, Walls and Light. I'm saying to every family here this morning that you as a family, though you may be involved in things that I know challenge you, but if you buy into God's plan, a husband in God's plan, a wife in God's plan, your whole family in God's plan, God will see you through it. And God will take you where you want. But you got to have the mindset that I'm not just here trying to survive and hold on. I'm here to make it work. And I'm here to flourish with God and prosper in his will. That's the way we got to be. You know, I know that it's difficult to be positive. And I know that it's difficult to always saying that I'm going to flourish. But I'm telling you, that's where your faith has to come in. You got to realize that though you've lost your job, you go in and you tell that boss man who fired you, you think that I'm going to just try to survive? Man, I'm going to leave here and I'm going to thrive because God is on my side. That's the way, the attitude you got to have. I'm trying to tell you, when maybe you have a spouse, and that spouse is in the survival mode, but if you know what God has said, you ought to wake up that morning and say, now baby, you talking about surviving, but the God I know told me that I gotta thrive today. And so I'm not going to get caught up in that mindset. I'm going to walk out on faith. That's the way you got to have. That's the attitude that you got to have, is that I'm in God's plan. Listen, all things work together for good to
to them who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Make sure that it's his purpose and not yours. His plan and not your plan. Amen, walls and amen, lights. When I think about this church can be in a survival mode because of the challenges that are before us. But let me say this to you. When you think about from whence we have come, this church got started in a home, a little home on Campanella in Hamilton Park. It couldn't feel, couldn't have more than 20 people in that beginning. But that church thrived. And they moved from there to a school. And then they thrived and moved from there to Stokes Road, a little white building. The church thrived, didn't try to survive, thrived. We came over here, built this new facility. We filled it up. We fill it up twice on Sunday morning. We're not a church who just trying to survive. We're a church that's thriving. And if we get to the point where you and I think that, okay, we have arrived. There are no more Red Seas. There are no more territory for us to walk and claim. I'm telling you, we're in a survival mode and we're not in a thriving mode. And so this leadership has come together for a whole year and put together a plan that this church will not just stand still, but this church will move forward. Now, how and where we go, all I've got to tell you is that let God lead us. Let God take us. And I'm telling you, if you think I'm tired, you think the reason that I'm saying I'm transitioning is because I'm tired, that ain't so. I'm no ways tired. But, listen to me. But I also know that God has timetables. And can't nobody stay in a position forever. God used Joshua to work with Moses. And when Moses died, Joshua was right there. And so I understand that as we go through, leadership will transition. Ministers will transition. But God will bring up other divine leaders. And they're going to come right from among you. Which means that some of you brethren are going to have to get up. Stand up. Stop being in survival mode and get in a thriving mode. Now listen, everybody can't be elders. And everybody can't be preachers. And everybody can't be deacons. But everybody can thrive. Which means that my territory is greater than what it was in 2015. Amen, walls and amen, lights. Now I'm trying to keep my glasses on so I don't have to look at you. Amen, I can't see your expression. Amen. Because these just reading glasses, but everything is blurred as I look out there. But let me take them off so I can look at you now. Listen, we got to thrive. And as long as I have breath in my body, and as long as our leadership has breath in their bodies. Have you noticed Brother Rogers lately? Brother Rogers not running around here pushing something, trying to hold up and stand up. Brother Rogers is walking. And he told us yesterday, he said, just give me time. I'm going to be driving again. Am I right about it? He doesn't have a survival mode. The man is in a thriving mode. So we don't need to sit around and feel sorry for the times in which we live. That's why we need you to be here Wednesday to see how this church is going to thrive. To know the plan. And if everybody comes, we won't even be able to seat everybody. But I hope that's the case. Because we're in a pivotal year. This is a year where a lot of changes. We gave you 5 years. We got 4 more to go now. But we thriving and not surviving. We're going to have additional leaders, additional ministers, additional teachers. We're going to expand in every way we can. And I hope you catch the spirit. And we hope that you're part of the plan and that you're not just willing to just sit and just let things happen, but that you catch the vision and challenge yourself and say that we want to do more for God. We want to flourish for God because God has promised that he will not leave us and he will not forsake us. As I have done for Moses, he said, I'm going to do for you. God got a history. God has a past. And he said that I'll do the same thing for you. Now you can take this lesson as I speak from a congregational standpoint, but you can take it personally. Because all of us got our personal challenges. And you ask yourself, am I going to keep doing the same thing over and over? It's time to step out. Move out. Go through the Red Sea. Go through the wilderness. Cross the Jordan. Let's go to the promised land. Now, my last point. You got to have the divine word. Let's read this together. I want you to put this on the screen for me. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 7. And I want you to see this. Now that he understands that they're going to be part of God's plan, the plan that he gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of the patriarchs are part of this wonderful plan. The plan that God gives us, he says, I need you all to start in Jerusalem, but I don't want you to stay in Jerusalem. Go to Judea, go to Samaria, and then go to all the parts of the earth. This church must understand that our territory is large. It goes beyond 1013 South Greenville. And so here's what he says. Now, if you want to thrive, here's the way you got to go. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to how much. Now, see, some folk want to do some. But you're not going to thrive picking out what you want. You're not at a smorgasbord. Amen, amen. Well, you pick out what you want. God says, now I need you to do according to what? All the law, which Moses, my servant, what? Commanded thee. Now, I didn't give it to you, Joshua, but I gave it to Moses. Moses got it from me. Moses gave it to you. So if you want to know what I want you to do, go to Moses. Somebody said, well, I need God to talk. God already talked to you, but he talked to you through those who have brought the transmission of the word. Watch him. Turn not from it to the what? Nor to the what? Somebody say, well, that's mighty narrow. Yes, it's narrow. To thrive is narrow. You can't thrive being all over the place. If I'm driving, I can't be all over the road. I got to stay in my lane. I can't go to the left. I can't go to the right. Stay in my lane. Now get all outside of it. You ain't going to prosper. We got to look at the word of God like this. Stop picking and choosing. If God said it, let's do it. Verse 8. This book, Moses wrote it. It's in the book. You want to thrive? Get in the book. And when you get in the book, thou shalt meditate day and night. Don't just open this book when they come on Sunday. Some of you can't even find the scriptures. If we didn't put them up here, you wouldn't even be able to follow me. Is that the way you're going to be this whole year? You can't find scriptures in the Bible? You ain't going to thrive like that. I'm trying to smile. This is our roadmap. You got to get in it every day. Don't turn from the left or the right. Meditate. Do like that cow. When that cow eats his food, then it finds him a place. Then it lays down, brings that food back up, and just chews on it. That's what they call chewing the cud. Now this, I know that didn't sound too good, but it's the truth. We're going to have to read the Word of God, and we're going to have to chew on it all day. Chew on it all night. And even though what you're going through in this world is far different and folks saying a lot of different things, you take what God says, and you follow what God says. And then watch this. Observe to do according to all that is written. Written. Therein. That means this man's going to have to read. Tell me, I need the Lord to guide me. Yeah, he has. In the book. We need to read. And when you read, husband, love your wives. Like Christ loved the church. Amen. Well, anyway. There's a whole lot of other preaching I wanted to do right there, but you know I'm just going to quit. But watch this. For then, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, flourishing, successful, and thou shalt have good success. If we're going to flourish in 2016, we got to have divine leadership as a church, but you must recognize the divine leadership in your home and in the circle that you find yourself. God always leads us. Then you're going to have to be a part of God's plan. But then you stay in his word and you do what he says. And you'll have a home that prospers, that thrives. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, you don't know what we're going to do. I don't care. I do know this. That's power in the word of Almighty God. I feel like preaching now for sure. I know, but I preach long enough. I've already preached long enough. But I'm going to tell you, you know, you don't ever underestimate God. Don't ever say God can't do something. Don't ever, because God is able to do anything. People in the Bible days, they knew what Jesus could do. When it got in a storm, Jesus made that wind cease. Calm the sea, just with his mouth. Woman who had an issue of blood said, if I can just get through this crowd and touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Don't tell me there's not power in Jesus and power in his word. The word of God is quick and is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. And if a man wants to be, all I'm saying is, let's thrive. But let's thrive off of God, Christ, and his word. And let's see where God will take us. If you're here, I pray that you'll come to Jesus. Brother Gibbs is not the person that you come to. You come to God through Christ. Christ Jesus is the way in which you and I must be saved. And when you come to Christ, you give your life to him. You acknowledge that I appreciate you dying for me. I appreciate you being buried for me. And I really appreciate you being resurrected. And I appreciate you being at the right hand of God now, wanting to serve as my mediator. And then I thank you for the righteousness that you gave me, which is your righteousness. Oh, God, I thank you for that. Therefore, I can thrive because I know that my sins are forgiven. I can thrive because God will never turn his back on me. I can thrive because God has given me the power to go through any situation. And that's the way you do it. So if you don't have Jesus, I'm asking you to accept him. Accepting, you've heard about him. Now I want you to believe him. I want you to repent of your sin. I want you to confess him to be the Son of God. Just like Thomas and Cynthia did last week. And then they were buried in the watery grave of baptism. They came up, and boy, I tell you, we had a good time. And I'm glad to see that they're flourishing even today. But there are others of you who need to do the same thing. Don't go through this year knowing that you need to give your life to Christ and you haven't done it. Come on now, stop. Don't take God. Don't shake a fist of rebellion in his face. Don't act like he doesn't matter. You need to do what you need to do. And that's today, the day that you hear my voice. Harden not your heart. Behold, now is the accepted time. You know why? Because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. That's why I'm begging you. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And I'm taking the time to persuade you. Please come to God. Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Just as I am.